Side 562 in your songbooks, please. Thank you, choir, for that song. Praise the Lord. 562 on the first now.
Once
done for me. 555. Let's sing it together now. When I look
around and see the good things that's done for me, I know I'm worthy of them all. And his blessings we bring is my own. My life is yours. Thank you.
It all not his crown. Not 10,000 bowing down, not one piece of jasper wall, he left it all. Not his robe, not his crown, not 10,000 bowing down, not one piece of jasper wall, he left it all.
Now, glory to God. Well, somebody shout amen to that song, all these specials. 230, let's sing it together, please. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. 230, let's sing it together on the first.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. God, now our reason of our loving Lord, our
thank you, choir, and special music, and thank you for singing. The ushers are coming through the house with the bulletin tonight. Cheryl, it's good to see you and your friends that are with you. I want to meet them tonight. We were in the same youth group years ago, probably 500 years older than you are, but we're glad you're here tonight. Let's raise your hand if you need it up in the balcony. God bless you folks up there, our friends that are listening literally around the globe right now. We're probably, I guess, over 100 countries right now watching tonight, and we're just so very thankful for you. I want to remind you that this week, if you'll see on Tuesday, we have kindergarten graduation at the school property, the other property, and that's at 10 a.m., and we welcome all of you want to come to that if you will be there at 10 a.m. Wednesday is the middle school and high school graduation on this property, 10 o'clock in this auditorium. On Wednesday night, and I told you this morning, I did finish the book of Colossians with you this morning. We've been there since the first Sunday in January. But as last Wednesday, I picked up a verse I sort of missed. And there's a verse that I want to continue to look at this Wednesday night. We have about a 70-minute service on Wednesday night, 6:30 to about 7:40 at the latest, and we'll look forward to that. You see the summer fellowships there. I want to let you know about number three. This is something that's been in the works with the FCC for several years now. And up in Susanville, California, we're not just on the internet. We now are on radio stations up there 24 hours a day with KNBBC. A great pastor, Brother Root, up there, and his kids are all graduates of our college, and we're excited for that region of the world that has KNBBC plus all the other satellite stations that we have. We have about 100 other stations we're on, but we're thankful for this. We're going to get back to number four in just a minute. Number five, I want you to know that I would like you to see Brother Lupke tonight. If you'll stand right there, Brother Lupke, right there is the man to see. You may be seated, or you can email him. We're low on our maintenance help that we hired during the school year for the college students, and so we're trying to get it done with the few men and ladies that we have here. A lot of volunteer help this summer. Let's all take a one-hour task. Youth conference coming up, and it is going to be incredible. Young people, I made a video for you this morning. I hope it goes online. Maybe it's there already. Brother Flood chose this theme. I had no idea what the theme was. He explained it. I didn't capture it. I didn't like it until he re-explained it to us slow people. Did it in a high school chapel. I am so thrilled with the theme, Discover. It's a nautical theme. And as Columbus discovered America, everything must be discovered in your life, the young person, the will of God, adulthood. And young people can never make it into adulthood unless an elderly adult who's already been there will usher them into adulthood. I happen to have a lot of ladies in my life that ushered me, my aunt, my mother, my pastor's wife, a public school teacher. And it's an amazing thing, as I went into adult life, I didn't disregard those ladies, but they all were pushing me toward their husbands. And their husbands became great leaders in my life. And I want to just say, you're going to have to discover, what do you believe about going to Sunday school? What do you believe about marriage? Do you want to get married in a church? Do you want to get married in white? That's going to be your decision. You have to figure that out. You want to give yourself to the internet that will destroy your life? You're going to have to decide. And I love the theme, Discover. And as I'm speaking, Brother Octavio and Abigail, your sister and brother-in-law and nephew is here from Indiana. We're so delighted that you're here tonight. Good to see you, and I'm going to see others along the way. I want to remind the ladies, there's the summer volleyball. You can see it, number 7 announcement, number 8. We have a great field this year. Has a children's playground right with it. And home run fence. I look forward to the baseball season coming up. Register tonight. You can do it online. Lifeline, you have a big activity next Sunday. Back at the beginning of the front page, tomorrow we recognize in church this morning two of our couples. We reach for Christ, these two families, 45 years ago tomorrow. Brother Jakob and his wife, who sits in the second row, and the Manleys that sit in the fifth row. And it was a big day at our church. And on that day, the ushers brought them to the front row and stuck them right in the front. And they became part of our church and have been here ever since. Raised their family and grandkids and great-grandkids here now. And we're so very grateful for both of you. We're going to ask Pastor Everettson in a moment to come and pray. And last week we prayed for two of our families that are leaving us that went into the ministry. We don't really announce it when people leave to move somewhere else. I'd be announcing it every Sunday. But we always have people stand and we pray when they're going somewhere. We have graduates of our college that are leaving us. And that is our missionary brother Isaac and Olivia Kim. We'll have them stand in a moment. They have two children now since they've come to college. Brother Kim came here several years ago and just fell in love with our church from Korea. He went back home and for the next, I think it was 3 years, learned English. And as he studied English, he became proficient, enrolled in the college, brought his wife, and she did not know English. She knows it now. And two beautiful children. They're going back to South Korea and in serving the Lord there. We're going to miss the Kims. They're wonderful people. But the purpose of this church is just not to take people in. All summer, almost every Sunday night, we'll be sending somebody out. Two families last week and two tonight. And then we're going to have the Goddards, Brother Josiah, his dad pastors, and Wilt Amar and Ruth Ann is from right here, grew up here and started in kindergarten. They're going to Trinidad. They leave in a few weeks, but this is their last service. And graduates of our school here, our college, we're so very thankful for you. They'll be great missionaries. The Goddards, would you please stand? And the Kims, right over here. I love all four of you and your four children, both of you together. Brother Pastor, come and lead us in prayer, if you will.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, what a joy it is to have these two families, these years, and God, how you've used them in our lives, and we're grateful for them, their influence here. And God, we're asking your touch to go with them as they leave this place. I thank you for the Kims. What a blessing they have been to our lives. And God, I pray that you would give them great protection as they go there to Korea. And God, I pray that you would use them in a powerful way there with their home church and in that ministry. Lord, I pray that you would give them many souls. And Father, that you would strengthen that church just immediately. And Lord, that you would be glorified through their life in a very powerful way. And I thank you so much for the Goddards. What a gift to see them here at the college, the years they were here. And now as they've been on furlough, deputation, I guess. And I pray, Lord, that you would use them in Trinidad. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to work well with the missionaries there, that you would help them to quickly get settled. And that, God, you would help them to really connect with the people there, and that you would use them to strengthen the ministries. And then, Father, that you'd give them a vision long-term, and you'd allow them to plant many churches, and Lord, that you would give them many souls. We think of eternity. God, I pray that they would impact eternity in a very powerful way, use their lives. We thank you for the gift that they've been, both of these families, to this church. And I pray, God, that as they leave this place, that they would be used of you in a very powerful way to impact eternity. And we'll be careful to give you the glory. Protect their families physically, meet their needs spiritually. And God, have your hand upon them in a very powerful way. Use them, we ask now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I've had the joy of talking tonight. Normally, all these guys do that. I've saved this announcement for Brother Flood to make tonight, regarding the bus ministry and something he's doing, and presented to our bus workers yesterday. You know, COVID did not just affect us, it affected the world. You're aware of that. But one area it affected was nursing homes. And we were out of nursing homes for the longest time. We're back in 15 or 17 nursing homes having services, seeing folks saved. It's wonderful. The internet has exploded around the globe, and we have so many more listeners, a Revival Time broadcast, KNVBC. It's amazing what has grown. Bible distribution, 100,000 Bibles in this area every year since 2000, since the COVID 4 years now. It's wonderful to see what God has done. But one area that's been tremendously affected in the nation is the bus ministry. Our bus ministry has reached over 80,000 people walking the aisles of this church to be saved, led to Christ one-on-one. We've had 1.6 million riders. But our bus ministry is not back like it should. In fact, our buses were always 700-800 a week, and we're right at 350-400. And I'm ashamed to tell you that's one of the largest bus ministries in America right now. Bus ministries that were large, ours were large, we're just not getting it back. Please don't fault the workers. The workers are working hard. We're having a huge crowd out on Saturday mornings. We're running all the buses, but they're bringing in fewer than ever. And I don't really know of a church that's exploding with the buses. One of the great churches in America that was about 1,500, 1,600 a week, last week they had 300. And they've never got traction back. And we believe in the bus ministry around here. And we're going to amen, because the man who grew up on the buses, his mom and dad, his dad got saved here years ago. He just saw three siblings here. The one was missing tonight. And Brother Flood was singing in that group. And they grew up on the bus with their dad driving the bus. And they all serve in the bus. Brother Flood has a bus route, leads the way in our bus ministry with his wife and three kids. I want the bus ministry to get back where it needs to be. Amen. And I do not fault you. And I don't fault you churches across America that are watching. We have buses that are sitting all over America, not running. So many churches say, we can't get a driver. Please talk to us, Brother Flood, about this program that you have.
Thank you, Pastor. It is announcement number 4 there in your bulletin. And really, you ask yourself, why are we starting a brand new ministry? Why create this ministry now in the year 2024? Well, it's because the bus ministry still works in 2024. And there's still more people to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's still more children. There's still more families to bring into church so that they can sit under the teaching of God's word and go closer to Him. And that's the purpose of this new ministry that we're beginning. It's called the Jumpstarters Campaign Ministry. And what we're doing is we're implementing in our church and for the foreseeable future a bus of the month. And each month, we are going to have a new bus to emphasize. And we'll tell you the area of the bus. We'll kind of show you who the workers are on that bus, the bus captain, the bus driver of that bus, so that we can be involved in that bus for that month. And really, the goal of the campaign is to give our buses a jump start, to give them a shot in the arm, something to give them a little bit more life, a little bit more energy. And as Pastor said, really, COVID did hit and impact our buses really exponentially compared to some of our other ministries. And there are several bus routes that we had that literally every single person on the bus route, faithful people, every single rider moved. And that bus had to restart from zero, restart from scratch. And so we're trying to get more people involved here in our ministry through this campaign. And this campaign is going to be, I'm so excited about it. One of the reasons I'm so excited about it is because everybody can do it. There's literally almost zero reasons why we cannot be involved in this new ministry. Now, I'm not trying to take people away from their other areas of service, and all of the ministries of our church are important, but perhaps even if you're already involved in an area of service, this ministry could be for you. Because it's so easy, and I'm sad to say it's so convenient, and it's something that each of us can do. What we're going to do with the bus of the month is the first 3 weeks of the month, we'll have a 3-week-long campaign, and our goal is to get 10 prospects and 5 visitors, only 10 prospects and 5 visitors. So easy. And so, but we'll leave that bus after that campaign with 30 new people and 15 people riding that bus who have come the 3 weeks of the campaign. And we'll provide promotions for them. We'll have a program for them. We'll get people involved for them. And that's where our church family comes together. You can see there's some of the areas of service. We need door knockers. These are people who are going out, and you say, I've never really done that before. It's okay. You can go with me. I'll show you how to do it. And we'll even have some training sessions for the people who are involved in this ministry. And you say, I can't give every Saturday. It's a large commitment, and I completely understand that. Life is so busy. Here's what we're asking. We're asking once a month. Can you help our buses once a month? Can you give of your time just once a month? And we shouldn't. There are people, and we have faithful people who are involved in areas of service every single week. But we're asking for this particular ministry once a month. Can you help our bus routes once a month? Can you knock doors once a month? We're also asking for financial supporters. to give towards our bus ministry. And really, these finances will be able to fund the campaign that we're running just for this bus. And we'll have special promotions for them. We'll go to the park. We'll have some different programs for them. And the funds will be used for that. So can you financially support a bus once a month? Can you give maybe $25 once a month to help our bus ministry? We're also asking for prayer warriors. Can you pray for our bus 1 week out of the month? We'll tell you the area. We'll give you street names. We'll even give you some of our riders, our names. So pray for them once a month. We're asking for people to clean the bus of the month during that week. Can you clean a bus once a month? I'm not asking for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours detailing every single inch, but can you just wipe down some seats once a month? Can you clean a dashboard once a month? Can you wipe the windshield once a month? We're also asking for people, an additional, even on top of door knockers, soul winners. People who are going after souls. Can you help once a month? Can you help once a month? We're asking also for breakfast bakers. And this is an area maybe not every single person can volunteer for. Maybe it'll be an area where I'll ask you, not the other way around, and you don't ask me. Maybe I'll come to specific people. But here's the reason for that. We have bus riders who come in our bus ministry, and the vast, vast, vast majority of them do not eat breakfast before they come. I've seen very recently kids get on the bus with hot Cheetos for breakfast, candies for breakfast, pizza for breakfast. And so during this campaign that we have for the bus of the month, we want to provide for them a meal for that campaign. For that, can you make a breakfast once a month? Can you feed some of our underprivileged families that we serve? Can you feed them once a month? And it doesn't have to be this lavish thing. It doesn't have to be incredible, but can you just help us once a month? Can you pray once a month? And that's what this campaign is about. The Jumpstarters campaign. It's been my prayer as we kind of organize this, and Pastor and I have talked about this, that we'd add 150 additional laborers to our bus ministry. And we're asking just once a month. Can you help maybe the first week of the month? Or can you help the second week of the month? Or can you help the third week of the month? And we will go and serve on that bus route, the bus of the month. We will go after them. We will find new people and we'll serve them and we'll try to get them involved and we'll get additional laborers in there. We've already received very, very positive response and many of the people I've already talked to. And that's what this is all about. But we're asking once a month. Once a month. And sad to say, I know this is maybe not spiritual to say, but really, do you even have to pray about it? Shouldn't you just help once a month? Can't you just help our buses once a month? To bring in more people to hear the gospel, to get more people under the teaching of God's word, and to edify our own workers and our own people as we additionally and add additional laborers to our bus ministry.
Thank you so much, Brother Flood. And we'll ask the ushers to go ahead and prepare for the offering at this time. And when you're ready, you can come forward. Over the last few weeks, you've heard our pastor talk about the offering reports and how we haven't quite been hitting budget and how great the needs are. And of course, we know that the needs are always great in a church and a ministry as we endeavor to reach the world with the gospel and as we try to reach people here locally through the bus routes and, of course, the Christian school and the Bible college. But if I could just encourage each of us this evening to not lose focus of the fact that we have an opportunity to give back to God. You know, I know the food costs are higher than ever. Gas is higher than ever. Rent is ridiculous in this area. And we can look at the financial situation that maybe our families are in, and we can look at the cost of other items in the area, and it is expensive. You know, as you study the Word of God, Jesus Christ spoke more about finances in his earthly ministry than any other topic. In fact, more about money than he did heaven and hell combined. You know, when you study the scriptures, you find and see that God's the one who gives us everything that we have. Every dollar that we earn, the resources, the knowledge that we have to be able to work a job, the health and the ability, that is all given to us by God. And then God gives us an opportunity to choose, to decide what we're going to do with that money. Yes, he says we can build our earthly kingdom, we can amass wealth for ourselves and treasures upon earth, but one day all of those things are going to corrupt. But then he gives us the other option that we can take the money that he's entrusted to us and we can give it back to the work of God, and in so doing we will have heavenly treasure. But not only do we get heavenly treasure, God then rewards us and gives back to us, not only financially but through blessings in our life. We can't outgive God. And we have such an amazing opportunity to be part of a church that is attempting to do something great for God. May we be found faithful in our tithes and our offerings. May we go above and beyond to give back to the work of God, that we might be able to see more people reach on the bus routes and the gospel proclaimed and more radio stations started and more missionaries sent out. May we have that opportunity because of the gifts, the financial gifts that God has already entrusted into our care. And I pray that we'll be found faithful tonight. Let's bow in prayer for the offering. God, we do love you, and God, what an amazing thought that you would give to us. God, that you would meet our needs. God, in fact, your word teaches us that if we will make you first, that if we will place the kingdom of God first priority in our life, God, that you'll take care of all those things that we need, the food, the raiment, the shelter. And God, as we see the cost of just about everything increasing, may we have faith in you to meet our needs. Faith in you, Lord, to be able to give back to your work, Lord, to be a gracious giver, and faith that you'll provide and that you'll take care of our families. God, we're asking that you would take the offering tonight and bless it in a very special way. I pray that we would be wise stewards of it, that we would use it to its absolute highest potential to be able to do the greatest amount for the work of God. We love you. Bless the offering is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Sing together 337, 337, as our children come forward, as we sing, I rest my case at the cross. 337, wiggle worms, you get ready now.
Thank you.
page number 395, Just Pray, Don't Ever Give Up. 395, sing it out on the first of the night.
Turn to Deuteronomy 28 before the special tonight. Is there a special? I guess there might be. I'm not sure. But I do want you to know that we have several groups out that are singing and preaching all summer long. We have a group tonight in Kansas. I ask you to pray for them as they've been in different churches today, singing and preaching, representing the college in Kansas and in Texas. And in California, making their way, one's making their way, all, I believe, this week, all the way to South Carolina and using them there. Pray for the Whitlows, of course. You know, they were here, and then they went back to Virginia to take, West Virginia, take care of family, elderly people, parents, and then they're back. And God's opened up the door. They'll be moving back here to all the prisons in the state of California, Prisoners of Revival. He's been flying back and forth, and we're grateful for that. Pray for Brother Herman in the rest home nursing home next to the other property. Spanish is over there tonight at that property. But you pray for him. He's in very poor health, and so is Charles Roush. And then, of course, you know the report I gave you on Wednesday of our sweet sister, Christina Martinez, that's suffering with this cancer very, very bad tonight. And you pray for her. When a lot of the children came back by, their hands were cold. I'm wondering, ladies, how many ladies, and I'm saying that, I see people fanning. All right. How many ladies, it's too cold in here? Let me just see. It's too cold, it's too cold, too cold. I think it's too cold for the ladies, whoever's running that. You know, they can run it by their cell phone. I cannot imagine how you folks do that. It looks like I'm going to be, is there a special tonight? I don't see him there, so I'm singing tonight. What would you like to? What would you like to? Oh, I wish I could sing. Yeah. Wouldn't that be something? I wish I could sing. That'd be great. That'd be good. We'll let the orchestra come and join you. And if I do sing, we'll have them back me up loud, real loud, so they could drown me out. One of these days, I get to heaven, I'll have voices like you folks do. Brother Havens, good to see you from Virginia in church tonight. And each and every one of you, it's wonderful. I appreciate you so very much. Tonight we begin a series, When a Nation Forgets God. And I'll be speaking on this subject for the next, until July the 3rd, which is a Wednesday night. And it's not going to just be how bad America is. I wouldn't preach it if I did not think there's a remedy. But the remedy does not fall on Washington, D.C. The remedy is the New Testament local church.
Amen.
It's the bus ministry. It's sending people out in the foreign fields, and thank you for going to Korea and Trinidad. Last week we had two other families going. It's part of what God's called us to do. But unless there's a revival, your children, my grandchildren, are going to see awful days ahead. Our Father, tonight, I pray that our hearts would be ready for the Word of God over these next 6 or 7 weeks, from Memorial Day to Independence Day. I'd ask that you do a great, great work. Blood. passionately told us about the bus ministry, there's something we could do. There's some folks that my involvement is going to be to give some money once a month, every week, whatever it might be. Some are going to clean those buses once a month. Some will go soul winning on that bus, and others go door knocking to find riders. I don't know all that you're going to do, all we're going to do, but I believe all of us should do something to step it up to reach these boys and girls. We cannot give this task over to the government schools. We cannot give it over to private schools, even Christian schools. We must give it over to the New Testament local church. Help us to be alert tonight to the need and the opportunity to see a nation come back to Thee. We think of that first great awakening in the late 1700s when the nation became, as they called it, debauchery. So wicked, so sinful, adultery, drunkenness. And then that second great awakening in the 1800s. God, may we be part of the third great awakening is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. When a nation forgets God, there's always consequences. I think we're all aware of the consequences. We have a corrupt government in America right now. I cannot think of one thing I have agreed with the president on in 3.5 years. Not one thing. He has a hatred toward Israel. He has a hatred toward the family. He's declared 30 days out of the year sodomy month. Easter Sunday, transvestite day. The man does not believe in securing our borders. 8.5 million people have moved in here illegal. The key word is illegal. We want the world to come here. China doesn't want the world. Russia does. Their borders are shut. But ours are open. I'm grateful that my parents, my grandparents, my wife's family were able to come to America. But they did it legally. When a nation becomes lawless, there's always criminal activity that just follows. Our government's corrupt. Our courts are corrupt. Our senators and congressmen, men and ladies, are using foul language. Not becoming a woman, not becoming a gentleman. Our government's corrupt. Our media is corrupt. Hollywood is corrupt. The NFL. The MLB. Major League Baseball, the NBA is corrupt. Corrupt. Our schools and universities are corrupt. Our Bible colleges that began as Bible colleges, Yale, 1638, first Bible college in America. Yale, 16th, Harvard, 1701, Yale, second Bible college. Princeton, Bible college. Dartmouth Bible College. Bible colleges were established. Ivy League schools, we call them. They were Bible colleges. That's why 58% of the graduates in the first several decades of Harvard became preachers of the gospel. But they're now the havens that protest Israel. We're going to see that tonight. When a nation begins to neglect God, we become the leader in sin. And God says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We are the leading country in the world for abortion. That's a very kind word for wholesale slaughter of babies. Abortion. America, the only nation in the world that was established as a Christian nation. The nation that three times our Supreme Court has indicated this is a Christian nation. We coins and currency, in God we trust. One nation under God. God Jehovah, I pledged allegiance to that flag. But we're a leader in abortion. Last year, we had more babies born into fatherless homes than any country in the world. More babies were born to fatherless homes than those were born with a father in the home. I think of our country, euthanasia, it's cry of the day. You determine when you want to die. You determine how you want to die. And it's legal to do so. I think of drugs, they run freely. And we have states and we have cities like San Francisco that bring the drugs to your encampment. Foolish people. It's amazing how stupid people can become when sin begins to reign. Amen. It's amazing that we go on the school campuses and teach children how they can have immorality and keep themselves safe. It's amazing that you can go and begin transgenderism and learn how to change your body without parental approval. It's an amazing thing that the government thinks that your children belong to them and not to the parent. Crimes go unpunished. 8.5 million people the last 3.5 years have entered into this nation and not vetted. We don't know what's here. We don't know what disease is here. We don't know what crimes are here. We don't know what gangs are here. We have no idea what terrorist groups have come in because we have had a president that says to the patrol and the security, you cannot stop people from coming. What a foolish nation. But the consequences cannot be laid at Mr. Biden's door. The consequences that were experienced cannot be laid at the media's door. The consequences cannot be blamed on Hollywood. The consequences that were experienced is because of the failure of the New Testament local church and the failure of Christians. We have to plead with people and stay faithful to church in America. Most choirs in churches have not started again since COVID because people don't want to take the time. There's very little orchestras, if any, very few. The buses are not running. I can tell you this tonight, our nation is not producing people for young people for Bible college. We used to sing, "Give of thy sons to bear the message glorious." By and large, most people don't want their kids in the ministry. I don't want my son to be a preacher. I don't want my son to go to Trinidad. No, are you kidding? My grandkids? Yeah, that's going to be a hard departure for the Sousleys. That's a hard situation to face. Our kids just moved as far as Newport Beach and Phoenix, Arizona, surprise. And I tell you what, I miss those 10 grandkids so badly. We have 4 that are left here. My heart aches. I can't be with them. Abigail, your dad right there. It has to be hard to see your grandkids here and you're in Indiana. Difficult. Why don't we want to give our kids to God? My wife would tell me all the time, I'd rather see our kids halfway around the world living in the will of God than living right next door to us and out of the will of God. Amen. We'd come home and I'd see the grandkids. I'd see their bicycles on the porch, on the driveway. I'd see the kids at our house. We had the big, all those years we served together, my 2 sons and their pastors and our son-in-law, he was the principal here. We had such great, 22 of us, great family gatherings together all the time. I look forward to Sunday night. You've told you this before, Brother Ryan Thompson, our son-in-law, he can create a stir. That's his way of doing things. And he can mock me, and my son Tim joins right in. And those guys could, my bloopers from preaching, all Sunday night after church, I thought it was funny. I think it's the greatest thing. They never meant anything vicious by it. It was just family. I miss those nights. Now I go home and my wife just yells at me. You know,
Why don't you want to give your kids to God? Amen. My Bible says they're an inheritance of God. God deposited them in your care. I know I could say it was my prayer. I believe it was my wife's prayer also. Every day of my life, I never told my kids, all of our kids have gone into the ministry. I never told them, you're going to go be a pastor. You're going to serve the Lord. You're going to do this. I never told them one time. I never told them I was praying for it. I never prayed that in front of them. But I would beg God, oh God, let us raise up children for you. And I must say, Lord, I don't want them to go to the mission field. I don't want them to leave us and not be here. Our son was our youth pastor and assistant pastor here for 12 years. He'd preach once a month on a Sunday night, once a month on Sunday morning. Ah, those were great days. And Brother Ryan, I can't remember, but many years he was with us here, got saved here, baptized here, through our school here, through our college. And so many years, my right-hand man, I put so much on him. I tell you what, I didn't want them to leave, but I want them in the will of God.
Amen.
I find very little in America where people say, praise God, my son feels the touch of God to serve him. I look at where we're at, and my generation has totally failed you. My generation gave us rock music, and now it's in the church. My generation gave us marijuana and gave us LSD and gave us 1963, no prayer in school. 1962, no Bible in the school. My generation did that. My generation gave us the hippie movement. My generation gave us draft dodgers. My generation gave riots in the streets. My generation, we got married. If we would have had a when we had a baby, you could not have aborted the baby, killed the baby. It was against the law. But in 1974, it changed. Now we've been slaughtering babies. My generation gave us sodomy. My generation has given us no Sunday school. You're hard-pressed to find Sunday school in America. You got these little groups, little connection things that you say, well, he's preaching against me. You do what you want, but I'm going to tell you something. We're having Sunday school here.
Amen.
No prayer meeting. No, churches don't have prayer meetings. No bus ministry. No, here am I, Lord, send me. No little to no door knocking, face to face. No service to God. Very little separation. We have failed. I'll get to my text. We have failed our churches with narcissistic people. We filled our churches with narcissism, with drama people. Everything's a drama. Moody people. Carnal. And I'm not trying to be harsh. This is the greatest church in all the world. Worldly people, selfish people, self-centered people, play, party, all of it, one and done. My kids are mine. I don't want them in the ministry. Angry people, gossiping, internet people. And we're seeing the results in America, lawless crime. Rampant sin. We're in Deuteronomy 28. And tonight as we see that when a nation forgets God, when a nation forgets God, they lose the blessings of God tonight. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 28, let's read verse 1 and 2 together, shall we? And we'll continue later. The Bible says this, ready? Begin.
And it shall come to pass,
the Bible speaks about the blessings. Verse 2, the blessings shall come on thee. Verse 3, blessed thou shalt be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of the cattle, and the increase of the kine, that is the cows, and the flocks of the sheep. And blessed be the basket and the store. And blessed shall be when thou comest in. And blessed shall it be when thou goest out. In verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And verse number 12, and the Lord open unto his good treasure in heaven, give rain unto the land in the season to bless the work. God says, I will bless you. Do you know when we do God's will, when we obey, as he says, you do my commandments. When you obey my commandments, I will give you a blessing. God says, blessed is the nation. He'll bless us. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If the church would put God back in our lives, God says in Genesis chapter 12, I will bless them. Speaking of God's people toward Israel and a nation toward Israel, I'll bless them that bless you, bless Israel, and I'll curse them that curse Israel. And all in Israel, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Mr. President, please, right now, if there's ever a time to stand with Israel for the blessings of God, it's now. But in our Bible colleges, Ivy League colleges, we're protesting Israel. And they're crying out, kill the Jew, kill the Jew. What is that about? We should not want to have anybody to kill anybody. We remove the blessing. The Bible says, blessed, Psalm 106, verse 3, are they that doeth righteousness. If I do right, God will bless me. Revelation 1, 3, blessed is he that readeth. God says, if I just read this book, he's going to bless me. Blessed are they that readeth, and heareth the words of this prophecy. And will do the words of this prophecy. God says, if you read it, if you listen to it being read, I believe by coming to church tonight, you're setting yourself up for a blessing. You're hearing the word of God. We've read the word of God. And if we do the word of God, and he says in verse 3, if we'll keep the word of God, keep it. God said, I'll bless you.
Amen.
Our scriptures tonight, the Bible says, blessed is the man, Psalm 1, blessed is the man. I'll bless the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'll bless that man that standeth not in the way of sinners. I'll bless that man that walketh not, what sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I'm not going to walk with scorners. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I want to walk with good people, godly people. What God says, why? He'll put a blessing on my life. I think of what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, 3 through 11, the Beatitudes. Blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
Amen.
God says, I have some blessings up there for you. My Bible says in Psalm 41, verse 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor, Brother Flood. Thank you so much for the bus ministry tonight. Thank you for presenting to us something that God says, if I'll consider those kids, oh, I know some have Nikes and they have all the shoes and they have all that, but I guarantee it, he said at bus meeting yesterday, I guarantee it 99% do not have breakfast. He watches them get on their bus with Coke, candy, Cheetos. That's not a meal. The average bus kid, the average, some are from good homes, I'm certain, but the average bus kid has no idea what it is to have a family meal at night.
Amen.
I was busy all day yesterday. I finally got home last night for dinner, and I hadn't seen my wife all day. And I tell you what, she made the chicken. It was delicious. And mashed potatoes and gravy and green peas and salad. And I thought, but I eat like a king every night. You know, most kids don't eat that. There's no dad to have, let's have a word of prayer. There's no mama that's been slaving over it. There's no family table. You raise good kids from a family table.
Amen.
God says, blessed is he, James 1, 12, that endureth temptation trials. God says he'll bless you if you go through these trials. He'll bless you. I want the blessings of God for this church. I want it for your life. Notice what he says in chapter 1, verse 3. And I'll try to be quick. In chapter 1, we're talking about when a nation forgets God, they lose the blessings of God. And all these blessings shall come on thee. These good things, these happy things. Blessing is to be joy and happiness and have the blessings of God, the gifts of God upon your life. And he says, blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Largest city in America is New York City, followed by Los Angeles, followed by Chicago. I love Chicago. My wife's from about 70 miles from Chicago. I love Illinois. I love Wisconsin. I was born there and then came out here so many years ago in 1953. I want to tell you something. I love Chicago and Wisconsin. But Chicago has more murders, third largest city in America, than the first two combined. More than Los Angeles and New York City put together. Over 1,000 murders on the streets, about 3 a day. It could be a little child. It could be an elderly lady, an elderly man. It could be a couple. It could be a gang. It could be, who knows what it is, a teenager being gunned down on the streets. You're in your beautiful area. You live in Indiana, just a beautiful place. What a wonderful place to raise kids, and what a wonderful place to serve God. And God's doing things in your church. I know all that. But God says, I'll bless your city. You think of these 10 largest cities, and it's New York and Los Angeles and Chicago and Houston and Phoenix and Philadelphia and San Antonio and San Diego and Dallas and Jacksonville, Florida, the 10 largest. San Jose is the 13th largest. But lawlessness reigns on those streets. Lawlessness and crime and drugs flowing in the streets. I've been in almost, I guess, all those states, all those cities, and I've preached in almost every one of them. And I'll tell you this for sure, you don't want to walk downtown at night. And you don't want to walk downtown in most places in the day. God says, when I remove my blessing, there's curse. He'll deal with that later in this chapter, and we won't have time tonight. He said, I'll bless the city. I remember this entire region here being farms, even when my wife and I came here, but just as a kid, all this was farms. Brother Manley, I remember one time you saying you remember there was no 880, but you remember at 101 when there were stop signs. And you just, it is such a good area. It was such a nice area. It was a farming area. Amen. They say it was the most fertile farmland in the world, followed by Israel. Similar weather, similar patterns. As we have to the north, the Fertile Crescent of Oregon and Washington, they have the Fertile Crescent to the north. To the south, as we have the desert, they have the desert. To the west, they have the Mediterranean, as we have the ocean. And to the right, we go to the desert in Nevada and Utah. And that's what they, and the same type of weather. Our fertile soil. Our soil here is not producing anything. Why? There's a curse on the city. So I'm going to move. Where? Houston? Where are you going to move to find the cities have a curse on them? The blessings of God have been removed. And God says when we obey his word, there's a blessing on the city. And he said there's a blessing in the field. Crops that are produced. This area used to be fruit trees everywhere. I remember the one time my mother and aunt got a job in Centerville. They went to the farming area, and they'd pick up apricots, and they had these pair of these knives, and they cut the apricots in half. And we had a flat top house, and my uncle and my dad, they would put those on 4x8 pieces of wood and then take them upstairs and let them dry out. They had dried fruit, and they got paid per apricot. Cherries were here, and avocados were here, and fruit trees of all kind were here. Oh my goodness. God says, I'll bless the field. Look what verse 4. I'll bless the fruit of your body. That is your health and your strength and your offspring. And the fruit of the ground. And the fruit of the cattle. And the increase of the kine or the cow. And the flocks of the sheep. He said, no, I'll bless your basket and thy store. Your pantry, your food. He says in verse number 6, I'll bless when you come in. I love going home. I just love it. I love just seeing my wife. I don't know what kind of mood she's in, so I always open the door, throw my hat in. If it comes flying back, I sleep out in the garage all night. You know how women are. Where do they learn it from, men? I tell you what. I love coming home to that lady. I love our nightly 10-15 minute ride into Santa Clara all around here. We'll sometimes we'll ride up on the hill and look over the valley. I love those times with her. I want you to know, God says, when you come in, I love coming into the house. I love coming into this house.
Amen.
I just love it. I'll be in here sometime tomorrow, I know, and it'd be dark and it'd be empty. But I always envision it like tonight, balconies filled and people up there in the lower floor. I love coming in here. I love coming, and he says, you're going out. You're going out. And he says, I'll bless you on your storehouses. That which you save up for the seasons to follow. And I'll bless you in the land, USA. I love USA. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. America used to lead the way. We were the head, we weren't the tail. We led the way in mathematics, we led the way in science, we led the way. Everything that's been created was created in America. Kitty Hawk. The airplane came from America.
Yeah.
The locomotives, you think of all that came from America. The computer came from the Silicon Valley. It wasn't the Silicon Valley. It came right here from Palo Alto. Right here, 1959. The telephone came from America. The phonograph came from America. The telewoman came from America. I mean, it all came from America. The internet came from Al Gore. And God says, you'll be the head, not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. But if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which shall command me this day to observe and to do them. Well, then why did we kick this Bible out of the school? God says, the performance is my responsibility. I have to obey this book. Teenagers, you have to obey this book. And then he stays pointed. Look what he says secondly, how pointed he is. Stay focused. Verse 14, and thou shalt know, you shall not go aside from any of the words which command me this day, to the right, to the left, go after other gods. Stay focused, stay pointed. This one thing I do. And look at the person. Verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from the words which they command me this day, to the right hand, to the left hand. Go after them other gods. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do his commandments, his statutes, all I command you, then curses are going to come. I tell you tonight, as we're thinking about when a nation forgets God, we lose the blessing of God. You hear that everything they touch turns to gold. We lose that. The greatest churches in America came out of World War II. And during World War II, those 10 largest churches in America, all Baptist churches, were running 4,000, 5,000, 7,000, preaching the word, going soul winning, running buses, running wagons, doing whatever they do to get people to the house of God. Those cities now are tearing down those buildings. Chattanooga, Canton, Akron, all the cities across America where the great churches were being raised up and guided the nation. I stood where J. Frank Norris had his building in Fort Worth, Texas. I see the place where he's laid to rest. And J. Frank, I was preaching at the school down there years ago. J. Frank Norris pastored two churches at the same time. For 13 years, he pastored one in Detroit and one in Fort Worth, the two largest churches in America. On Sunday night in Fort Worth, he'd have the Philharmonic Orchestra playing in the services. Had the huge Bible college there, sending out through his seminary men and women around the world. Most of you would not remember the word John Birch. And I'm not advertising for the John Birch Society because John Birch would not even want it. It's an American right-wing movement, and it was good at one time, but it's so liberal now. John Birch was the first graduate of J. Frank Norris's college. J. Frank Norris guided United States presidents. John Birch went to China and was behind the wall in China and was giving information to America. It was an amazing thing. He was there as a missionary. But J. Frank Norris, he didn't know if he was going to be preaching by rail. He went to Detroit, or by rail, he went to Fort Worth. But he had two men in both locations. Insminger was down there in Texas, and G.B. Vick, I've been in that church with him. I've sung there at that church. A big Temple Baptist church, empty. Pontiac, Michigan, the great church, Tom Malone, empty. No one there. They say you look in the lobby, there's a picture of Dr. Tom Malone and Joyce laying on the ground. Empty. No one there, not open. 385,000 churches in America. Millions and millions and billions of dollars to build these buildings across America. And most of them are dark on Sunday night because it's one and done. I was preaching in another state. The pastor was driving me to the meeting. And he said, let me take a little detour here. He said, that church right there, they run about 7,000. And it said right there on the sign, Saturday night service. You see, the goal was to get it done with, that you had your Sunday. And they make the announcement, we want you to have Sunday. So you get it over with on Saturday night. The next church run about 7,000. It's Friday. So if you want to go to the snow, you have Saturday and Sunday. The next church.